You are listening to Radio Sai Global Harmony. Please visit our website radiosai.org to listen to our free internet streaming service. On this website, you can access audio streams. The first three are Asia Stream, Afri Stream and Ameri Stream, which offer you programs in the languages common to these geographic regions. The other two streams are Bhajan Stream and Discourse Stream. Click on the Bhajan Stream to listen to Asai Bhajan at any time of the day. Similarly, to listen to the divine voice of Bhagavan Sri Satya Sai Baba 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, please log on to the Discourse Stream. Just log on to radiosai.org and experience the divine love of Bhagavan Sri Satya Sai Baba. For any inquiries, please email us at listener@radiosai.org.
Sai Ram, dear listeners, welcome to Thursday Life, and this is the segment Service Love in Action. I am Raghu from Team Radio Sai, accompanied by our audio engineer Yatharta, and we offer our humble pranams at Bhagwan's lotus feet. Well, dear listeners, till now you heard the segment Morning Glory, hosted by Sister Karuna. In fact, last Thursday in the segment Morning Glory, Sister Karuna had played a conversation that she had with filmmakers Gene Massey and Naresh Sharma. In that conversation, Mr. Gene Massey had said some profound things about seva. He had given a comparison between how Swami's devotees do seva and how others. He had said that generally if some beggar is begging for food, we just give him food saying, "Here's some food for you." The way the Swami's devotees do is that they give the food along with a smile and along with love and care, and make the people generally so happy, not just from the food but the fact that somebody cares about them. That's the key. It seems once Gene Massey was in Los Angeles and a man was begging, and he said, "I just got out of prison, I don't have any job. Can you give me some money for food?" For this, it seems Gene Massey replied that not only money, but I will go out with you to the place and buy you any food that you want. And so Mr. Gene Massey went with him to the restaurant and bought him the food, gave him and sat down with him. Then the person who was begging started to cry. He said, "Sir, nobody ever did this for me. Nobody sat down with me, bought me the food. They would just give me some money but never bought me the food and sat down with me to eat." So dear listeners, that's what the devotees do, Swami's devotees. They go out and not just say, "Here's some food for you," but they deliver with love. Everything that Swami's devotees do is filled with love and coated with love. Dear listeners, the time in our studio is 11:10, and at the very outset, let me begin this segment, Service Love in Action, by playing for you a song sung by Swami's students.
Prema, prema.
Prema, 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 prema
dear listeners, and welcome back to today's Thursday Life. This is the segment Service Love in Action, and I am Team Leader Sai Saragu. Today in this segment, I'll be playing for you a conversation in which the many service activities being done in for the victims of the Haiti earthquake will be discussed. On 12th of January 2010, an earthquake with a magnitude of 7 and an epicenter approximately 16 miles west of Port-au-Prince devastated the capital of Haiti. An estimated 3 million people were affected by the quake. The Haitian government reported that approximately 2,30,000 people had died, 3 lakh had been injured, and 1 million made homeless. They also estimated that 2,50,000 residents and 30 commercial buildings had collapsed or were severely damaged. Responding to both these mega disasters, many countries and world humanitarian organizations appealed for aid, pledged funds, and dispatched rescue and medical teams, engineers, and support personnel. In numerous countries, the Thai organizations rallied to provide aid and support and relief service. And in true Thai fashion, these organizations continue to work in these areas to relieve the sufferings of the needy and help them rebuild their shattered life. Well, Radio Thai had a conversation with three Thai volunteers, Mr. S. Lakshmi Narayan, Mr. Krishnan Shankar, and Mrs. Mangala Shankar, who were involved in the service activities in Haiti. So right now I'll be playing for you that conversation. In conversation with them is Radio Sai Pishu, and this was recorded on 3rd of January 2011.
Sairam, dear listeners, in the studios of Radio Sai, today we have three special guests, and two of them are former students of Bhagwan's University, Mr. S. Lakshmi Narayan and Mr. Krishnan Shankar. Mr. Krishnan is there here along with his wife, Mangala Shankar. A warm welcome to all of you, sir.
Thank you very much.
They are here for a very special reason. We have invited them to share with us their experiences in Haiti. Yes, they were part of one of the teams that went to Haiti to serve. Everyone is familiar with what happened in Haiti in January of 2010. It was a catastrophe of gigantic proportions. There is no one probably who has not seen those gory and really pathetic pictures of the situation in Haiti after the devastating earthquake. At least 3 million people were affected with the earthquake. You had at least 1 million who were homeless. 2,30,000 people were killed, and the number of injured and the number of people who have gone through innumerable emotional, psychological, physical stress is difficult to actually put a number to. And even now, almost several months, it's almost a year after the earthquake, the situation still there is pathetic. And you had the opportunity to go there 4 or 5 months after the earthquake?
Yes, we went in July 4th.
7 months after the earthquake.
Okay, so you went in July 4th. So you tell us, how was the situation? What we read about Haiti is the earthquake caused so much damage. Even the major landmark buildings of Haiti, including the presidential palace, the National Assembly, the Port-au-Prince Cathedral, the main jail, everything was affected. Actually, almost the whole country, you know, coming down on the knees. And you had even so many important personalities who were killed. The president was actually saved, right, miraculously probably, right, because he was just saved, and he lost so many of his ministers. So the story of what happened in Haiti, the sad situation, we can just go on and on. So you tell us, what did you see when you went there in July? You said it was in July,
yeah, it was 2010. In July.
So what was the situation? Give us your eyewitness account of the situation.
So we went after almost 6 months after the disaster, and the situation there was pretty gruesome because the disaster happened in January. We expected most of the things to be cleared off, all the rubbles to be cleared off, and just a build a new activity. But to our utter surprise, we saw all the buildings were in the same state of condition even after several months after the disaster. It's as if it happened just the previous day.
Okay, in fact, you were showing me some pictures before we came into the recording studio of the picture of the presidential palace, and it looks like it's as good as the damage happened just yesterday. The
yes.
building is still like that, collapsed, half of the building is gone, and it's the presidential palace.
Okay,
and,
yes.
and if the condition is bad to such an important building, I wonder what it will be for all the other structures
exactly.
in the country.
That's exactly what we saw, almost every single street.
Mm.
And what was important also, we saw one particular building intact, and the very next building, next to that building, was completely damaged. So we couldn't understand if the earthquake hit every place in the same perimeter or radius. And we see the damage of different proportions across the streets.
Mm. Mangala, please tell us, what did you see?
The same thing as he explained, the rubbles were not removed and the place was not at all hygienic. Everywhere we saw, like, each and every street had some kind of damage, one or the other. And the palace was damaged. And the hospitals, even though I didn't go inside, outside, everything we find, all over damage everywhere. And it was very pathetic. And because I've never experienced any kind of disaster, natural disaster ever in my life, like a tsunami anywhere. I heard about it in news and all. Going there in person and actually witnessing them, it made me realize how fortunate we are to have all the blessings and to feel sad about the situation. But at least we are there by Swami's grace to be some kind of help to them, as if the help is just for us anyway, though, like helping ourselves.
Mm.
But I'm able to witness this.
And Brother Lakshminarayan, would you like to share your feelings and experiences when you first landed there?
Yeah, definitely. I think the first thing which is etched in my mind is when the plane landed. You know, I was not sitting near the window seat, otherwise I would have taken a photograph. But it was like I was seeing a movie, because all the rooftops had blown when the plane was landing. So I could see all of them around the airport, all the houses. And the other scene which I remember very clearly is the last day when I was staying till Sunday. So I had taken a long trip to drop off some of the people who were going back, and then picked up the other doctors, and then gone back to the hospital or to the clinic to help them out. And we had taken a long trip, and then I saw so much destruction and so many people living in tents. So, and then when we talked to the driver, and he was saying that people are so scared to go back and live in the houses, even though their houses are intact, because the earthquake is so unusual in Haiti that they weren't sure if this is going to happen again. So it's like a tent city, and houses are all destroyed.
The fear is still the fear. So much has captured their being so much.
Yes.
It's in their psyche.
Yeah, and also to see that some of the houses are destroyed, and then you see the beds jetting out or something else, some of the housewares you can see through the windows, and nothing has been cleaned up. It's just like it was before.
That is so sad. After 6 months, if this condition
yes.
is still like this,
yes.
so one can only imagine how bad it was
yes.
When it
day.
Actually happened. Okay, so what did you actually intend to do? What was your plan?
Basically, the best part of it was, as alumni, we were going as part of the SAI organization. So we were contributing to the SAI organization.
And yes, SAI organization, so when did the SAI organization start the work?
They started sometime end of the month. So the earthquake happened on January 12, 2010, and sometime in 2 weeks or something, I think the neighboring country, some of the volunteers, some of the SAI volunteers from there had come and done a scouting, and by end of the month, they had started this. And then they had said
so the first help from the SAI organization went from Dominican Republic.
Yes, that's correct. And then some
and
of the
it was coordinated from USA
yes.
or
some of the SAI doctors from USA had coordinated it.
Okay.
So from then till July, there were like 19 teams who had gone.
19 teams.
And every week, almost every week, I think maybe 1 week or 2 weeks they might have missed out. Every week, one team had gone. And the team depended on how it all came together.
Mm-hmm.
So some teams had many doctors and some just volunteers, and some team had less doctors and more volunteers.
Mm-hmm.
But you could see the hand of Swami, because you could never figure out. I mean, even when we plan out something simple where we know exactly who are the people coming and all, it takes so much effort. But here it was an effort where you really don't know how many doctors are coming together, how many volunteers coming, but it all comes together and it seems to be a perfect fit. like how it happened in our team.
So your team had how many totally, what is the number?
Our team had 7 people who were going for that week, and their one doctor qualified to go and see the patients, and another doctor who had done her MBBS from India, but not qualified to see, but that was a perfect fit because she could come and set up the pharmacy, and the pharmacy was in a little bit of a mess because every team had come and gone and they really didn't have time to set it up. So she could come and help label everything, and all of us were there to pitch in and help.
So there were two doctors and the rest were volunteers.
Rest were volunteers, and among the volunteers we had 3 or 4 young adults. So young adults are like youth in India,
right?
And the young adults were doing an incredible job talking to the youth in Haiti, in the Port of Prince. It's called the Dalmas area, and the youth in Haiti were very inspiring youth. They're very passionate about their country. They are not like
the same youth.
The local youth. They were not like, okay, this is getting really bad, let me just get out of the country. They were not like that. They really wanted to do something good for the country. But they needed somebody to guide them. And the Sai youth were helping them. In
young
different ways.
When they worked with them.
Yes,
exactly. It was a nice chemistry.
Very nice.
Okay.
They had a passion to rebuild Haiti, but they don't know how to do it.
How to go about it.
So they found a perfect fit in our Sai youth, and they took all the resources in planning, scheduling, how to talk to the school authorities to set up a class or find out the need for the school, those kind of activity, and also go to the community to find out if there is something that they can pitch in and do it, like cleaning. Because it's all in a total mess. They were all sleeping in tents, and it was all completely messed up, and they had no sanitation. So this youth, along with our youth, went there, went and showed how to clean, how to be hygienic, those kind of things.
And many of the youth, just to complete with this Shankar's point, many of the Sai youth were quite fluent in French. It was a really plus point. I think many of the children. And
I was about to ask that what. Because there definitely is a language barrier.
Language barrier. And in our team, I think there are 2 or 3 young adults who were pretty fluent. So the language barrier went away that way. And they were able to talk.
So they speak, the people in Haiti speak French or Creole?
Both. Yeah. Some of the young adults could speak English, but not all of them.
So your team, you said, had 2 doctors. One a qualified doctor, the other a doctor for all practical purposes. And then you had 3-4 young adults, and the rest were 3-4 alumni.
Correct. Right. Yes. Alumni was a doctor.
One of the alumni was a doctor.
Yeah. And 2 of us were the.
So alumni. Was this the first alumni team?
Yes.
Yes.
And only 1 so far.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. This was 7, and then you said so 7 members flew from the U.S. You are from which part of U.S.?
I am from California.
And you, brother?
I am from New York.
Okay, so this team consisted of people from different parts.
Yes, exactly. Yes. We had people from Houston, we had people from Michigan, and one person from Toronto, and another person from Northern America, Boston area.
Okay, so how did you coordinate?
That's the beauty of it. That's where I see the unseen hand of God, like, you know, because 1 week before that, they had an official thing where, because even the organizers really didn't know who was coming into it. Till the last minute, people were joining.
All this is coordinated through
the Sai organization.
Through the website?
Yes.
Yes. But we were a little proactive, like maybe about a month and a half before itself. We kind of, because of the alumni, we were finding out that now Shankar and Mangala were the first to register. And slowly we figured out that we need to be more, you know, proactive to figure out all this. So we had at least 3 or 4 conference calls among ourselves. To get a better idea, we invited other people who had gone before and asked them to tell us about their experiences, tell us what we should know when we land there, and we got prepared. And the last week, we really came to know about the rest of the team, and then it was a little bit smooth sailing.
So it was not surprising for us to know, because we didn't know what it is. They briefed us every single thing, what time we get up, what time we are going to sleep, what are the different activities.
So because it was the 20th team which was going there. So
it was all structured.
Yeah, so there are not too many uncertainties.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So you had planned to, all of you had planned to land there by Saturday, by your Saturday.
Yes.
So that was on July
4th.
July 3rd. So tell us, Mangala, how was the routine there?
The routine starts from, like, we get up around 5:30 or 5:45, we all take shower, and then we do chant Rudram, followed by bhajans. Yes. Since we alumni, all three, and I also know, basically Rudram by heart, and we all chanted together. Having alumni with us is a great blessing, because, like, I mean, you know, here every day they do. Yes. So these people are very well known in Vedas, so I was very blessed to be in that part of the team. So we all chant Rudram and followed by bhajans, and then we do the Brahmarpanam. After that, they provide tiffin in the place where we stayed. Then we start in the truck or the van, whatever I call it. It's like a lorry kind of thing here, standing thing, and we only had 3-seater inside. All of us stand, other people who don't have space stand in the truck, and the driver takes us to the place where we have to serve in the early morning hours of 8:30 or around 9 o'clock. So from that time on, we be there in the big church or the small church. Those are the two places where we have to serve basically for that particular week we are assigned to. And there in the church, all the patients who has to see the doctor will be waiting in rows in the church. And there, the first thing of beauty is they start like the church prayer. We do the Sai Gayatri, Gayatri, and then Asatoma. Everything's first thing in the morning.
In the church.
In the church. Mm-hmm. It was very amazing, because I have never seen... Although in US, everybody is universal, the place where it, Swami is very unknown, as if, at least to my thought, like Haiti, I never even imagined that, like, I mean, people allow these kind of worships and everything. And those people were trained, accustomed, seeing this for going on for 19 weeks. They are very, like, dependent on Swami's people, and very comfortable with us. It was something unique for us to see. And then we start with it. That gives us enough vibration, because we are already charged with Swami's name, carrying the support and love we take from home to here. And then after the prayer, we do service. And I mean, we waited in the church. The patients, I mean, we helped the doctors, and the doctors, like the brother Lakshman mentioned, the pharmacy doctor, the lady doctor who was trained in India, she was also present there. We did the inventory for the pharmacy, because it was a mess since the previous teams which went there did not organize the medicine cabinet or inventory properly. So we had to help them in organizing the whole of medical inventory, so that it will be easier for the doctor to take care of, like, when he asks for a prescription, it will be easy for him to supply the medicines. And Brother Shankar, like, he'll be, like, I mean, doing the counseling for the patients. So since they were coming, and he'll be talking to them and giving an idea, like, I mean, how Swami is, like, then how God will be saving them. And they were having so much hope, I should say, like, I mean, trust in God. Even though the disaster happened, they still have faith in God, either Swami or the church or the Jesus, whatever name you call. They still believe in God, that there is some hope for their country, and they didn't lose hope in that. That's something amazing. And after that part of that service we do, like, I mean, helping the doctors, then we had the Narayana Seva in the afternoon lunchtime, because the people from there cook in large quantities, and we all three, the team members present there, serve food for all the people present in that waiting for the patient. And also we had the same food, and sometimes we take peanut butter sandwich early morning from the place where we stayed. They pack us food. We didn't have to bother about shelter for our own food or for any sleep or any comforts. It's all provided by the Sai organization in the place where Ronnie uncle, where the place where we stayed. So it was something unique, and we didn't even have to bother about what to do. Like, next, where to search for an unknown place, an unknown language. Particularly for us, we didn't know French or Creole, either language. So it was all taken care of by Swami. And then after the service was done for that particular day, I'm talking about the big church where we go. So there is also a place called small church where the orphanage is there. There we have a lot of children who are small age, from 2 to 11, who lost their parents, and some people have lost both, or either one of the parents, since they are in the orphanages too, they don't have homes. They were so young and tender, and we were able to help them by giving, like, playing with them and listening to the music. It was very inspiring and also encouraging for them, because they were thinking that there is some person who is, like, listening to them. Like, they were playing so beautifully, piano and flute and all of the instruments, and we were giving company with them, and also, like, helping the doctors other than doing that thing. And after we do both of these kind of service, we go home, and then we do take shower, and then do the Rudram again, and then followed by the bhajans, and then they provide dinner for us. Before going to bed, we also try to learn some new bhajans from the team member, Uncle Ronnie, because we were all interested in bhajans, and we want to know, like, unusual bhajans which we don't get to hear or sing in US. So we were all interested in music.
You
so
spend the time. So
very, very, very satsang. And also shared some experience. Yeah, it was a spiritually uplifting experience. We all felt we were in Parthi rather than being in a place where we are going to serve. Because the same atmosphere where you get in, seeing the love of Swami, was felt here. And everybody was fully charged with that experience, amazing experience which Swami had given us. and unique we, that all 6 months we were relieving, and either you ask him or the other team members, we all felt like one family, like I mean feeling the same kind of energy and vibration which you still carry. When you ask us to talk about Haiti, it leaves back the same memory and experience since the time of landing to till now. It still reverberates in everybody's mind.
Yeah, wonderful.
Yeah.
You mentioned one Uncle Ronnie.
Yes.
Who is this person?
See, Uncle Ronnie has been a long-term devotee of Swami. And what happened on the day of earthquake, when his house shook, he sent all his family members away from his house, and he went to Swami's room, and he was just sitting there, and he said, "Swami, you take care of me." And he was just meditating on Swami for a whole time. After a few seconds, the building, the shaking stopped, and nothing, no, just the Swami's picture or the picture frame just tilted a little bit and stopped. After some time, we could see around some damages being done all around other people's house and not his house. So, and everything was intact.
His house was intact.
Yes.
Perfect. Nothing, not even a single crack or damage.
Oh.
Immediately, a thought came to his mind: is Swami has saved his house, which meant for some larger purpose.
So he had that feeling.
He got that feeling.
Mm.
So immediately he told his wife that he wanted his house to be the hub for all the seva activities for the Sai organization. So he contacted the Sai organization and said, "Use my house for the entire seva projects which you're going to start."
Wonderful.
And he gave his whole house. Even I have problem doing some things in my own home. He never felt any discomfort where 10 or more people from different parts of the country walking into his house every single week.
So there, every week there are strangers
in his
house. So-called strangers walking into his house.
And
it's been going on now for
even
a year.
Yes. Yes. And he welcomed us, and he was so lovingly said, "This is your home. Do what you want to do." And only requirement he had was he loved bhajans. And he made us, even
same.
That we learned from him, to be adhering to the discipline of every day, 7:30 mornings, bhajan, no matter what. And same thing in the evening, 7:30. So that schedule taught us how to discipline ourselves. And he gave his house, whole house, for size.
He had already arranged for your stay,
comfort.
For your comfort,
yes.
So that you can engage in his work. So Sister Mangala was mentioning about the medical camp and the Narayan Seva. Tell us, Brother Lakshmi Narayan, about the medical camp. What kind of patients you saw there? What was their condition?
Brothers and sisters saying there are, we were served at two places. One was a big, just for our distinction, we used to call it the big church and the small church. The big church is where we had more patients. Small churches, they had orphan kids and less number of patients coming in. So in our thing, we had one alumnus as a doctor, and we were seeing like something like 50 or 60 patients every day.
Mm.
And so it was morning 9 to evening 4 o'clock or something. And many of the patients who were coming had many of the usual problems of the unhygienic conditions and poor malnutrition.
Haiti is one of the poorest countries in the world.
Yes.
In the Human Development Index, it stands 145th.
Okay.
Among the 187 countries, so it's really among the poorest countries. And when disaster happens to a nation like this, it can only, I don't know how worse it can become.
Yeah.
It can only be very pathetic. Yeah, so tell us, are there any scenes from the medical camp that are really very, very vivid in your mind? You know, some patients you saw, some occasions when, you know, it really wrenched your heart?
No, I mean, to be honest, it's so not one person or one patient stands out, but for me, everybody there is so, like, there doesn't seem to be any hope or like a faith. They seem to have completely lost it. So when we come in the morning, 8:30 or something, we already see them queued up or sitting there in the chairs.
Mm-hmm.
And you could see so many people sitting there. And sometimes because of the teams we are going, we would tell the person who is there in the church that, you know, we can only see so many patients because we have only one doctor. But though they know that, no, there are only so many of them can be seen by the doctor, they still would sit there hoping that they would be seen by us. by the doctors. So you
the
could
need
see,
is so high.
The need is so high, exactly. I've not seen
anybody
anything
who can offer any help is welcome.
Exactly.
Yes.
Anything,
yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And you give them clothes or bracelets. You know, that was the best part. Like when we gave them bracelets, which we considered nothing much, you know, in terms of materialistic value. But to be in the background, we had all these bracelets were chanted with Gayatri Mantra. So they're all charged with that. But we gave it to them as friendship bracelets.
Mm.
But it was just of no value in if you give it to anybody else anywhere in the world. But when
just
they see that, there's their eyes light up, you know, especially the children and the ladies. Mm. They feel so happy. They put it in their hand. Sometimes when the brothers would give, asking which color you want, and they would choose them with so much joy. So
I think it's a feeling of being wanted.
Exactly, yeah. That love sharing, I could see when you hear this, you know, in theory, it doesn't make much sense or it just stays at one level. But when you actually interact with them, you see that love part. And you share that love, you see that, the difference.
Mr. Mangalai, do you have any moving scenes during the medical camp? Anything that... even now when you think about it, you know, it really brings water in your eyes.
Yeah. One patient, like, I mean, it's also in the picture, like, he had a tumor or something, like, kind of, that picture still in my mind because that's a small child. I mean, he should be, like, around 10 or 11 years old. He was having the tumor and he was about to get operated, but, like, I mean, he lost his hope and parents and everybody, and, I mean, it's very moving. I've been in other places, like even though India is very, like, I mean, with Swami's grace, our country is very rich compared to that's the poorest country of the world. And I live in New York and US, and it's like, I mean, richest country. And that's like, I mean, since we, even though we have like people homeless and other people, sandwich save on other stuff kind of thing, these people, even without having the parents or anything, that's very moving because they don't have anything and they come for a medical camp just relying on hope, and some help will give them joy or to get cured. Or that was very moving for me. Like the patient was waiting for, because I went to the 20th team as a member and he was about to get operated the next week. I was still wondering like what will happen to that patient and like, how will he survive since he doesn't even have any family or anybody to take care. So those kind of things, that's the only.
You're listening to Radio Sai Global Harmony. Radio Sai brings to you every day the teachings and the universal message of love of Bhagavan Sri Satya Sai Baba.
Sairam, dear listeners, this is Radio Sai's Asia Stream, and right now you are listening to The Thursday Life. This is the segment Service Love in Action, and I am Team Radio Sai's Raghu. Till now you heard a conversation with Mr. S. Lakshmi Narayan, Mr. Krishnan Shankar and Mrs. Mangala Shankar, the three Sai volunteers who were involved in the service activities in Haiti. The service activities were done for the victims of the devastating earthquake that was hit on the capital city of the Haiti on 12th January 2010. Well, this conversation will be continuing in a while. Before that, I'll be playing for you some few instrumental bhajans. Well, music is a language in itself, a language that whole universe understands. When this universal language is rendered by the melodious flute to express popular bhajans, the result is magical tranquility and pure bliss. Dear listeners, as part of Sai Blossom products, a new Sai Blossom product is coming up in a couple of weeks. It's called Bhajan Instrumental Series, Volume 1 of Bhajan Instrumental Series. The main instrument in this bhajan, in this series, is the instrument flute, and the lead flute player is Pramod Umapati. So right now I'll be playing for you a sample of this Bhajan Instrumental Series album. Thank you. Sairam, dear listeners, so that was a sample of the first volume of the Instrumental Bhajan series, a Sai Blossom product which will be released in a couple of weeks from now. The lead flute player was Pramod Umapati. Well, dear listeners, moving further in this segment, Service Love in Action, let me play for you a beautiful bhajan from the, again, from Sai Blossom product, Nadabrahmam.
Allah ho akbar Allah ho akbar Allah ho akbar Allah Avali Allah Noor Paya Kudrat Ke Sab Bande Ik Noor Te सब जग उपजियारा कौन भले को मंदे कौन भले को राम हरे हरे नाम बोलो
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 हरे नाम बोलो साई नाम
Dear listeners, welcome once again to today's Thursday Life. This is the segment Service Love in Action and I am Team Radio Sai's Raghu. Today in this segment, I am talking about the various service activities that happened for the victims of the devastating earthquake which happened in the capital city of Haiti. Well, Dr. Narendranath Reddy, the chairman of the Prashanti Council, the governing body which oversees the activities of international SAI organizations, was involved in the service activities that was happening in Haiti. So he says, there were many other NGOs who came to Haiti for relief work, but most of them left after 6 months. And he further says that Satya Sai Seva organization is still present there and providing services. They continue to provide food and water to the needy on a daily basis, provide support for the orphanage, and also provide school supplies for needy children. It seems when he visited Haiti soon after the earthquake for assessment of the relief work, he visited the orphanage. Those children in the orphanage did not have much, but they were happy. They were singing songs in the Haitian language. It seems Dr. Narendranath Reddy asked them if they wanted to eat ice cream. When they gave them ice cream, they were in bliss and the kids were enjoying it so much that they were jumping all over. It was such a simple act, but it was wonderful to witness how much joy it gave the children. This is what Dr. Narendranath Reddy told us Radio Sai team about his experience of his involvement in the service activities happening in Haiti. So, dear listeners, a while ago I played for you a conversation that Radio Sai had with three Sai volunteers, Mr. Lakshmi Narayan, Mr. Krishnan Shankar and Mrs. Mangala Shankar, who were involved in the service activities in Haiti. So we'll continue listening to that conversation. In conversation with them is Radio Sai's Pishu, and this conversation was recorded on 3rd of January 2011.
You are listening to Radio Sai Global Harmony. Radio Sai brings to you every day the teachings and the universal message of love of Bhagavan Sri Satya Sai Baba.
And during the medical camp, the doctors, of course, were seeing the patients. What are the other alumni doing? Brother Krishna, you were involved in counseling?
Yes. So what happens is, first the patient sees one of the attendants. He is also a student doctor who is a Haitian, local Haitian. He takes their blood pressure and all the basic skills. Then they move on to the doctor. Doctor sees them, then gives them a prescription. They come to the prescription area where the people are assigned to give them the medicines. While they are waiting on the medicines, what I was doing is, because it's again a long queue, I'll make them sit in another table and I call them and ask them, what did you eat, where did you sleep, what happened that day. They want somebody to hear their problems out because nobody has spoken to them after the disasters. Everything has been compressed in their heart and they want something to be relieved. So these kind of questions, they were able to...
If somebody just gives a patient hearing, that itself is some kind of a therapy. And
the patients, when they, after getting the medicine, they come with a very depressed mood, and this is my observation. And after talking to them a few minutes and listening to them patiently, what strikes me, a whole conversation, they want somebody to be listening to. And once they pour a heart out of what happened during how many people they in their family got lost, how they lost job and all the stuff, they were able to take the burden out, but again, still the pain is still
the heart to that extent feels a bit lighter.
Yes, a little lighter. Mm-hmm. But that was one of the experiences I felt. And one thing I can find them, they still have a lot of faith in God. Mm-hmm. No matter what kind of a situation they are in.
Isn't that amazing? I mean, after going through so much,
yes.
You still have faith in God.
Mm-hmm. And they all believe in Jesus Christ and Mary. And most of them are Catholics. They have the strong belief that somehow one day they will be saved.
Oh, okay. So they have no complaints against God?
Yes.
They didn't have absolutely never.
You didn't find even one person complaining to God?
No, absolutely not. They said God will help them overcome this. In spite of, they have lost the entire family, no job, no house, no money. They have to rely on the tents and the campsites for food and our SAI service organization for medical treatment. Still.
Some felt it was like a cleanup because they all understand that the country is very corrupt. So they felt that this is like a cleanup before the, you know, the new beginning.
Oh.
So they took it in a very positive
way.
One of the students was coming in our truck and he was saying that he was in a classroom and something prompted him to go out for something. And he had gone out and the earthquake happened and I think most people in the classroom had died. So he felt that God had saved him. And he didn't want to talk much about it, but he felt that's fine. That whole thing is like a cleanup, you know, because our country has...
I'm just taking it very positive.
Very positive, yes.
Whatever happened is God's will.
And all the people got saved have the same mentality like our brother said.
Mm.
They are living for some reason of because of God wanted them to be alive.
That's wonderful. There is so much to learn now.
Yes, from them. Absolutely. We are taking a lot of things for granted and this is one of the important lessons I took.
After going through so much, will anyone have still faith in God? But it's really amazing that there is not even one person who has any grudge against God. Wonderful. So, this was one major activity, the medical camps.
Correct.
Right? And then you had the Narayan Seva.
Yes.
It was in the same place?
Because the patients wait from morning to the evening. Behind the church, there were a few of the local Haitians who were preparing food for the patients. So, that was one kind of a Narayan Seva. So, during the lunchtime, we all, the team members, helped the local Haitians to carry the food and serve the patients over there. The other Narayan Seva was happening in other place, Delmas area, which is closer to where we were living. It was happening in a larger scale. On a single day, 1,000 patients were being fed, and people from Argentina, one of the Sai devotees, have moved permanently from there to just do the service whole day. He gets up early in the morning, like 4 o'clock, and goes through the whole preparation of food along with the help of other local Haitians. And then they queue up all the people, and the food is being packed, everything wrapped in a box, and being served. And this happens every single day for...
It's been happening since the time Sai Organization started the work.
Yes. And it's a very well-organized effort. It's beautifully done. It's a sight to see it.
And so the Narayan Seva happens in this church where you have the medical camp. Then you said another location which is a larger place.
Yes.
And also in the orphanage or which you call the small church.
Because the children are already part of the orphanage.
Okay.
The orphanage themselves were catering the food and other things. We were not part of that food.
So some days you were busy with the medical camp and some days you went to the orphanage.
Correct.
Orphanage also we were conducting a medical camp.
Medical
camp also was doing. So in both big church and small church, along with the medical camp, our team, like, we had carried a lot of clothes. So we had given them clothes also when they came to see the doctor. And also given them bracelets, the friendship bracelets.
Yes. Also some toys.
Toys to the orphanage, yes, like Sister Mangla says. Yeah.
The small church were very few patients, so we were able to get see all the patients quickly.
Mm.
The rest of the time, or in between the time, was devoted to the orphanage kids.
Mm.
We sat with them and they played music for us, played with us, and catered to all the other needs, the basic needs as a child. Which made us look also in with playing with them.
Do you have any fond memories of spending time in the orphanage?
Yes. The children were so loving. They're very cute and they wanted to be around us all the time. So they want to entertain us with the music. I love music and we all loved it because these are the small children and who doesn't even have professional training or don't have money to be trained there.
Actually, they are the people who need help. But
correct.
It's amazing. They
it
want
is
to entertain.
Amazing for us to see them entertain us and we are the audience and they feel so loving and I mean, they were so happy that there are people to listen to them and just playing piano and singing songs one after the other, Christmas carols and they wanted to be around us and smiling and joyfully. We were also giving them company like two and a half hours. That's also a break for us because we were helping in the medical assistant with the doctors and doctors need a little break at least to refresh. That time they wanted to be like not to disturb them at that time because we are all non-volunteer, non-doctors. So we were helping the kids being entertained, being giving them company, listening to the music and playing with them. And it's really a wonderful memory for me.
You guide some flutes.
Yes.
Is that right?
Our organization bought the flutes locally. We bought them there.
You bought the flutes locally?
Locally, yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Because that material which they are comfortable with, we just got them. And we distributed them to the local kids. And they immediately opened it and played with. It's like they got $1 million, something, that gift which you gave, even though it's a small flute. But they thought it was a big thing, and the joy you can see in their eyes glittering. It's amazing.
We've taken a lot of toys. So one of the younger adults had brought a lot of toys, because many of us had said we are bringing a lot of clothes. So he said, clothes are enough, I think. So she had just gone around, I think, the last couple of days and brought a lot of toys. She doesn't have children, or she doesn't know how, what children like. So she had just gone around and got random things. But these were things which any kid in like US would not even care, because they are very simple stuff. But you could see these kids were enjoying it, each of it. I remember one scene where one box of, it's called like fuzzy sticks or something. It's like hardly costs a cent or something. Oh. But of different colors. You just take the stick and you twist it around. That's all it is. There's nothing to it. But the mothers and children would pick the stick they want and they'll twist it, and there's so much joy and, you know,
make happiness shapes out of it.
It's all it is. There's only one stick they're getting out of it. And there was something where they could make boats, and everybody was interested in making boats with this small like arts and crafts. There was so much joy in that. So I've never seen such happier children anywhere else, not even in India. Their smiles and their... I mean, the children are just incredibly...
Yeah, I agree with them, because, like, I mean, the joy and, like, by receiving it, even I have seen, to giving to the kids in US or India, anywhere, even to family or friends, they don't appreciate the way they did, because, like, they were so happy to receive even a small thing, because we take everything for granted. Those kids, since they are provided with comforts and luxury from the beginning, they are not trained the way these people are. So it was very amazing, as you said, to receive their face glowing with joy.
For them, it is kissing like a ton of love.
Yes.
Exactly. Yeah, that's the love part was really there.
The bracelet, as he had already mentioned, is actually very simple, but that was something, like they got something very valuable.
Somebody is binding them with love.
Yes.
Exactly.
So I think ultimately, everybody pines for love. If there is love, you can even live without food for some days.
Looks like that.
Okay. We were earlier talking about the challenge in communicating with the Haitians, the language problem. So how did you really overcome that, this challenge?
There are multiple ways we handled. When we registered ourselves, they had asked a question whether you were able to talk French or not. And if you had, it was an added bonus to it. Luckily, in our team, we had two young adults, three young adults, who are very, very fluent in French. They can talk to anybody in exactly whatever slang it is, they can understand very quickly. And that made a big difference to our team. That was one way of... So any communication we had to go through these guys, and they were part of us any time, they translate for us. The second part is... since these people can't be alone, because they also have to do some other work, we also had another place, youth who are just finished the school or just in the college, but they wanted to help rebuild Haiti. So they associated, they saw there is a need here where the doctors come, so they wanted an extra money, or they just want to rebuild. That's most, the money part was insignificant for them. It was more a passion to rebuild Haiti in some form or the other. They thought that was the important, most important thing. So they volunteered their services of translating from English to Creole or French. And they were the most valuable team members in our team, because the doctor, when he asks the patient what problem they have, these people have to interpret correctly and give back the answers. And same thing, they have to tell how much tablets or what medicine you have to take, what time. This volunteers play the crucial role. So that's how we handle the volunteers, translating.
Brother Lakshmi Narayan, what would you say as the challenging moments of the trip? I mean, there are so many joyful moments of the trip. We were talking about how people are really happy when they found someone who really cared for them, who really had so much love for them in their hearts. But there must have been so many challenges in this trip.
Actually, to be honest, I don't really see many challenges. Maybe that is because there are so many other teams who had done it. So it was pretty well organized in terms of logistics or, you know, transportation. All that was pretty well taken care of. Only thing is maybe that you see so much destruction, like, you know, when you do go in the morning in the truck and you see so much destruction in the Haiti, then you go to the church and then you see, you know, people are really in bad shape. And then you come back in the evening, you feel very, you know, it's like a big weight on your shoulder. Like you feel that. Though you see also like what I had mentioned about the, you know, what we had said before about the joy and the children and all.
It just puts you in a self-introspection.
Yeah, exactly. It puts you a little bit. It was a little bit depressing. I mean, I started remembering my own daughter whom I had left like a week back, you know. Mm. So that is the only part about it. But otherwise, the whole week was not even like I came back and I was telling everybody it was not like a seva I did. It was like a spiritual retreat. Because like how Sister Mangala had mentioned before, how we were doing satsangs and rudram and bhajans, we wouldn't do that even in the daily days. We wouldn't have time or we just wouldn't do it. Mm. So it was like a spiritual retreat.
Yeah. And were there any instances where you really felt Bhagwan's presence, or you saw the unseen hand of God, as they say, Brother Shankar?
Yes, I would like to narrate two incidences. One, I will take the Haiti example, and the other one, our own trip, how we got there, as another, how Swami's helped us in that way. With regard to the first one, Haiti, there is a devotee by name Benita. She was trapped in a hospital where she was working, and she was under the rubble for 17 hours. And she was thinking she is going to be dead, because all around her she saw only that kind of destruction. And after 17 hours, the whole 17 hours, she had been constantly chanting Om Sri Sai Asahaya Sahaya Namaha.
Oh, she knew Swami's Ashtotram.
Yes, that line she was constantly repeating, and Sai Gayatri. After she had a bead with her, she was constantly chanting the whole time. And miraculously, she was able to find her way out. After a lot of struggle and pushing the rebels, she was able to get free. And she herself says, without Swami's hand, I wouldn't have been alive today. And that was something which we learned from her, that Swami had saved her, even though she was into the rubble and no way to escape. The other part I want to just mention is, the trip when we started, we were supposed to leave the airport around 8 o'clock, and we arrived at the airport well in advance, like 6:30 or so. But as we are standing in the queue, the line was long because of the long weekend, July 4th being a holiday in the US, so everybody was traveling. It was a big, pretty long line into the airport, and by the time we reached to the counter, it was after 7. And in US, they just close the counter 1 hour before the plane departs. So we were a little after, even though we arrived earlier, but by the time they said, we can't take your packages. And all three of us, me, my wife, and Dr. Atul. So all three of us were told, you can't take this plane. But we said, no, we have to be there, because without the doctor, the whole team, meaning the whole scheduling would go ahead. It won't happen correctly. So we pleaded with them, and finally they agreed. Like us, there were many other people. Finally, they said, we'll give you a special counter where you can check in. So they allowed us to go to that counter. We checked in. They just threw all the luggage right into the center of area where we thought all the suitcases will never come to us in time, because they were so carelessly handled. They just put in the middle of the airport. And then we ran to the counter. By the time it was almost 7:50, so we thought in 10 minutes the plane is going to leave, the suitcase won't come. By the time we reached the gate, the people said, why are you running? We said, we had to catch the plane at 8. And they said, no, just relax. What has happened is, the plane which was supposed to take you, they had overbooked the people in there, and they had to get a bigger plane. And a bigger plane will take at least an hour or two to come back, so you just take your time to come there. Now, I just want to mention, when we started doing Swami Seva, I was initially doubting, how this is Swami's project, it's not my own personal project. Now we are going there is a hurdle there. If without us going there, we are going to put not only in trouble, all the other people who are trying to pick us up, everybody has to now be in trouble. So and there is only one plane per day to going to Haiti and back. So it's going to mess up the whole schedule for us. And once they said that, we were so thankful to Swami. Swami had completely taken care of. When you completely have full trust in Him, and it is His work, He will make sure it happens in a smooth way. And from that time, when we boarded the plane, landed, everything went like clockwork precision, and we were the first ones to reach the airport in spite of getting a hurdle before, and everything fell in place from that point.
Hmm. Brother Lakshmi Narayan, you were sharing about how you had some experience earlier before we started the interview about carrying luggage.
Right, yeah.
Which had all the supplies for this trip.
So, like I was saying, when we had started the trip, we found out that one thing we can carry is a lot of clothes, because there's so much need for clothes. I had mentioned it at our center, saying that, no, we need a lot of clothes, and good condition. So our center members had done, like, were so generous, they had donated tons of clothes. I had weighed all this in our home, but my weighing machine was completely off mark, and it was showing like 50 pounds, I think. But it was much more than that. So another Sai brother had come to the airport to help me there, and where when he put it in the weighing machine there, it showed much more than that. So, and my brother started saying, okay, he had brought an extra bag. He said, I'm going to just dump them there. So I had said, let me ask him, no? And I had asked him that going to Haiti and I'm taking it for a service project. Is there anything you can do about it? Brother Shankar had mentioned before, we had done a lot of checks before at the airport, airlines, saying, can we do anything more? But that thing had passed only after 1 month after the crisis. Within the crisis, they had all this, they had removed the restrictions where you can take any amount. Mm-hmm. But they had said, no way, we can do that. But so I didn't have much hope in that when I asked him that. But he was very nice about it. He just said, you know, very softly to me, just take away a few clothes and then bring them back. Mm-hmm. So I think we carried almost all the clothes that the center members had donated, which was much more than the required limit. Mm. But it was very useful. All the clothes just literally flew off the, when we kept it in the benches. Everybody really used it.
Mm. Yeah, so going back to the seva, so we had daily Narayan seva, which was to 1,000 people every day. Then you have the medical camp, and then you have the visit to the orphanages. Right. So this was kind of the schedule every day.
Yes.
For the 7 days.
Five days basically.
5 days. Yeah.
The first 2 days were basically setting up the schedule and learning from the previous team what happened, and the next last day was again used for the next team and for other team to travel back home.
Mm. So how was the last day? Was it in any way different?
It was like a family. You would come together and getting along. We had the time has passed so fast. And somebody had told us before, somebody had warned us before, the time will flow off very quickly. Mm. And we were like, okay, that is just like, you know, he's saying, just like that. But it was not just like that. It was just like in Parthi. You know, it's been a week since I came and the week has passed away. It's like the same thing. They had gone and we were like a family and, you know.
We got to know each other, and because we are all from different states. Mm. And we also had every day in the evening satsang about Swami's experiences from different people, different Sai devotees' experiences, and all the team members' experience. Mm. So those all wound together as one unit, and that was a very emotional day for us to say goodbye and go on our back home.
Mm. And when we first landed, we met one more person who was saying he has come for the second time. And then we met one more doctor at the end of the trip who was saying she was coming to the sixth or seventh time. Mm. So we were a little puzzled. At least I was a little puzzled why people would come two times. No, it's quite a lot of money and, you know, you can't take off. But then I understood end of the trip why you...
Why people are coming again and
exactly.
Yeah. The doctor who came six or seven times, as soon as she lands, they come to know, all the patients come to know. They all, surround her, as if to welcome, they all love her to... Mm.
So this is
she has come seven times, so
she's a familiar face.
Very familiar, and she can also speak French.
Oh, okay.
So it's a doctor speaking French in their own, much easier.
So now that the trip is over, what is it that you carried in your heart once the trip was over? I mean, of course, we tried to do something for the people in Haiti. That was one objective, but most of the times in service activities, we realize that more than what we do to others, the service often does quite a lot to us.
Yes.
What are your impressions, Brother Shankar?
The most important transformation happened as I used to complain about small, trivial things or what I lack, and I'm not comfortable with this, I'm not comfortable with that. This whole trip of going to Haiti and coming back, I did a lot of changes in myself, and actually I didn't feel that I went and did some service to somebody in Haiti. Actually, I did a service to myself. And that was the feeling I always generated after going there. And the most important thing is to feel contented to whatever you have. And that simple joy and the smile they had when they saw a small gift given to them, that made me introspect myself to say, when people have nothing, how joyful they have. And when we have so much and we still complain that I'm lacking this, I'm not lacking, I don't have this and that. So I started enjoying.
Happiness is never related to actually the
position, the materialism or anything. So that made me realize, and I'm still working on it. It's in progress. To get the feeling constantly in my mind saying how truly I am blessed to with whatever I have, and much more than what they have.
Brother Lakshminarayan, before you narrate about what the service did to you, do you remember any instances of how, you know, anything that any of the recipients of the medical camp said, you know, in the course of the conversation, when you're is there anything that they said that, you know, that still kind of is very much vivid in your memory?
Many of them, the youth especially, who were with us most of the time, the youth from Delmas, who were there with most of us, they used to come with us in the trucks. Mm. They used to spend time even at Uncle Ronnie's place. Mm. And
you're talking about the young adults or the youth local youth?
Local youth, Haitian youth.
Who were helping us interpreters.
Helping us interpreters, and who were also spending a lot of time, even started doing bhajans and all that. One of them was saying that, no, his life, though he has faced so much, you know, tragedy in his life, you know, so many family lost and all, he felt like the Sai organization, after so many teams has gone and done this, has completely transformed his life. Obviously, he's going through so much physical, this one, like, you know, his college is gone, so he doesn't know what he's going to do. His family, many of the members have died. With this Sai organization coming, he feels there is some hope, you know, there's something in it. Before that, it was like nothing for him. And he started attending bhajans now. He started singing bhajans. It's like Swami has, you know, through us, created a like hope in them, and this one, something to hang on to. That is just amazing. The way he was saying it and the way he expressed it, I can never forget that.
Sister Mangala, tell us what you took back from this trip.
I took back to count on my blessings, which I always do, much more than what I was doing previously before. So I took back to focus only on positive things and what's good happening in my life, rather than counting, I mean, what I don't have in my life, like my husband said. And like, I want to be very contented, very satisfied with whatever I have in my life. And also to thank Swami every time, even after coming from Haiti, I started doing bhajans every day. That's a new thing which happened in my house, because we usually do once a week or something. Now that I'm back from Haiti, I still carry the rudram and the bhajans. So I started doing twice every day from Tatur. It's like, I mean, I've been continuing to do every morning and evening.
Just to be in that ambient.
I didn't want to change the atmosphere. So even after coming back to US, I've been doing rudram twice, morning and evening, just like Prashanti, and doing bhajans twice, and also praying so hardly that I should be here to catch this plane to come to Swami to thank him for what he has done for this all of 6 months and change my whole life perspective to view things better shape, and still thanking Swami that I'm talking to you right now to be
great,
here.
Wonderful. Thank you very much.
I think you almost
spent 1 hour. I think we can go on. I was tempted to ask, okay, suppose you get a chance to go again to Haiti, how will you prepare for it?
I think there is a lot of room for improvement, in the sense that, you know, we can work on that. When we were there, we found out there are so many other things they are working on, like a school project, and they're working on doing like a construction of houses and all. And we didn't mention this, but when we went as alumni, though there were only three of us went to visit physically, many other students wanted to also visit, but because of no vacation, couldn't take off and all. But so what we did was, they all contributed in terms of mobilizing resources. So we took that money and we had donated to this organization, which was accepted gratefully, because so much money is being spent. I mean, Sai organization, as I understand, is spending about $1,000 a day So that was so we were thinking and hoping that, you know, if something like this happens again, we would work on something specific project, maybe like a school or something, providing for a school supplies or something specific, and something we can all
on a sustainable basis.
Sustainable basis.
We already had some youth working on some projects to find out what is the need, how much it costs. We already have that material, and if the organization needs, they can always use that material to go on for a long-term basis.
There are so many organizations working there, and Sai Organization is one of them.
Yes.
Did you find any difference in the work that is being done by Sai Organization and by other organizations? I think there are people coming from Dominican Republic, other Red Cross, or whatever, whatever. Is there any difference that you found?
I mean, as I understand, many of the organizations stepped in as soon as the earthquake happened. And then the focus shifted away after, once the media took away attention and focused on some other, something else which happened. Sai Organization has been consistently doing it from that time till, as far as you know, end of the year. So there's been no change in that. It's other organizations, like when we were there in July, we saw many children going as part of some church or something. But only during such breaks, and that is what amazed many of my friends and relatives who are not Swami devotees, that how has Sai Organization been doing consistently every week, almost every week. And I think that is makes a huge difference between us and somebody else.
That's wonderful. So there is definitely, there is so much more that can be done in this country. But as it is like with every service project, more than what we do, what we get in return,
exactly,
is more important. In fact, that is what is Swami's aim also in setting up all this, giving us this opportunity to serve. Because many times when somebody asks Swami, what is the purpose of Sri Yukta Sai Seva organization? Is it to spread your mission? Is it to really alleviate the suffering of the poor? He said nothing. It's not that. Yeah, it's we ultimately realize that it is for our own, and I'm sure we all are always enriched after every service experience, and it's the same case with you. Thank you very much. I hope this will not only give an idea to other listeners about what is happening in Haiti and how so many organizations are working towards alleviating the suffering there. Okay, great. So thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
And
thank
I'm sure listeners would have liked this sharing of service experience in this country that where service is needed the most. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
You are listening to Radio Sai Global Harmony. Radio Sai brings to you every day the teachings and the universal message of love of Bhagavan Sri Satya Sai Baba.
Saran, dear listeners, so today in this segment of Service Love in Action, you heard a conversation with three Sai volunteers, Mr. S. Lakshmi Narayan, Mr. Krishnan Shankar, and Mrs. Mangala Shankar, who were involved in the service activities in Haiti for the victims of the devastating earthquake that happened on 12th January 2010. In conversation with them was Radio Sai's Bishop Prashti, and this conversation was recorded on 3rd January 2011. With this, dear listeners, I have come to the end of my segment, Service Love in Action, and I place my hosting effort at the lotus feet of our beloved Swami. Well, dear listeners, a while ago in this segment, I had played for you a sample of an instrumental bhajan from the new Sai Blossom product, Volume 1 Instrumental Bhajans series, which will be released in a couple of weeks. So, as I sign off, I'll be playing for you another instrumental bhajan from that volume.